The anti-abortion group Family Research Council has launched a television ad in several states across the nation urging a stop to President Obama's health care reform efforts. They contend that a government option would fund reproductive services like abortion with taxpayers' money. The issue of women's reproductive choice has become a potential deal-breaker in the battle over health care, but the impression that the anti-abortion side is united is wrong, according to writer Christina Page. She's a spokesperson for Birth Control Watch, and she writes in the Huffington Post about serious fissures in the leadership of the movement that do not reflect the vast majority of Americans opposed to abortion. The fault line lies on the issue of contraception. Those who have organized to make contraception widely available to reduce the incidence of unwanted pregnancies and hence abortions have been disowned by groups that oppose both abortion and contraception. Pro-life Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio is one prime example. In retaliation for co-authoring the Preventing Unintended Pregnancies, Reducing the Need for Abortion and Supporting Parents Act, which he co-authored with Representative DeLauro, Ryan was kicked off the board of Democrats for Life of America. Christina Page now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, can you go into a little bit of detail about what this position is that's taken by a majority of the leaders or many of the leaders in the anti-abortion movement, that they oppose abortion but also oppose contraception? Explain that.
Well, yeah, there's not one pro-life organization in the United States that supports contraception, even though it's the only proven way to reduce the need for abortion. You know, we have, this is
not one?
Not one.
Okay.
And this is, you know, a huge disagreement. 80% of pro-life Americans believe that women need, and men need, greater access to contraception. And so we have a huge opportunity here with President Obama and with this legislation, this very common ground legislation, to make a huge impact on the unintended pregnancy rate in the United States. And the only group that's holding this up is the, you know, pro-life establishment and their animus towards contraception.
So is the major break then between the leadership of these organizations and their constituencies or and the vast majority of Americans who call themselves pro-life?
That's right. And, you know, we have, you know, legislators like Representative Ryan who have spent the last 3 years trying to, unlike every other pro-life Congress member, trying to research the approaches that actually work to reduce the need for abortion. And as reward for that effort, he is banished from this national pro-life group. So, you know, Representative Ryan is far more representative of the American people on this subject than the whole of the pro-life movement.
And you mean the American people who are pro-life?
Yes, and pro-choice.
Hmm. So what is the main justification that's given for being anti-contraception? Is it that they think that this would encourage promiscuity?
Well, you know, I wrote a book called How the Pro-Choice Movement Saved America, and it's about all of the attacks on contraception, and they come at it from many angles. You know, one is they claim with no scientific backing that the most commonly used forms of contraception cause abortion. That's not true. They claim that...
Wait, the commonly used form of contraception cause abortion. So yes. What do they mean by that? That's sort of spontaneous abortion?
They claim that, well, first they claim that pregnancy begins at the moment of, you know, fertilization, which there's no known test to determine. And they claim that after fertilization that these methods work to prevent implantation, yet there's no proof of that. There's no scientific evidence, and all the scientific evidence we do have suggests that's not true. And so even though that they're defining pregnancy at a moment that no one else defines it at, not medicine nor the federal government, and then they take this extra step to say that these methods that, you know, 40% of Americans use are working in a way that they consider to be an abortion. So it's very elaborate and even based on their own hypothesis, it's untrue.
Do they take positions on various forms of contraception, the pill versus condoms?
Well, you would think that if you're claiming 40% of the, methods Americans use, you would rush to support the condom or barrier methods or all these other methods that their tortured logic, claims cause abortion. But they don't. There's not one pro-life organization on record supporting any form of contraception, with the exception of natural family planning, which, historically has been most known as having a high failure rate and being terrifically unpopular.
Christina, how much of this pro-life leadership, or some might call it anti-choice, anti-abortion leadership in these organizations, is reflected among anti-abortion Republicans or Democrats, for that matter, anti-abortion members of Congress? Do the members of Congress reflect the American people or reflect this organizational leadership?
They reflect the organizational leadership. This is something that's not really understood by the pro-life public. The pro-life movement has spent immense resources. The pro-life public's resources, those who are supporting these organizations, to elect into office people who are fighting against the very things that we know prove to reduce the need for abortion. Throughout the Bush years, what we saw was a wholesale attack on family planning. In fact, Bush, did much more for anti-contraception supporters than he did for anti-abortion supporters. It wasn't made much of, but, John McCain had a completely dedicated resume against contraception, and I'm surprised that wasn't made more of an issue during the campaign.
Hmm. So then in this current debate over healthcare reform, where abortion and other reproductive services have become a sort of flashpoint in terms of the government option, these representatives that are not really representative of the pro-life public are taking very strong positions. How is this sort of skewing the debate on healthcare reform? And do you know if there are, if they're also trying to withhold funding from providing contraception and advice for contraception, et cetera?
Well, they just failed in an effort to defund Planned Parenthood funding for contraception. Planned Parenthood, it provides only 3% of its services are abortion services. The lion's share of what Planned Parenthood is providing in America is prevention. So they've attempted every year to defund the federal funding to Planned Parenthood. But we also saw was these so-called conscience clauses or laws that would allow healthcare workers to opt out of any service that they found objectionable. And this was an attempt at the 11th hour of the Bush administration to push through this law, this regulation through HHS that would have allowed any healthcare worker to deny any care for any reason. And really it was focused on those who, it was done for those who opposed contraception, but it was so broad. So I think that we're going to see, if anything, we'll see, along with the opposition to abortion playing a major role in the healthcare discussion right now, we're going to see conscience become an issue. And I think that we have to ask what they're defining abortion as. Are they claiming that the birth control pill and emergency contraception is an abortion? Because right now that definition is really murky when you're talking to the pro-life establishment.
My guest is Christina Page, spokesperson for Birth Control Watch, and she has an article in the Huffington Post called The Breakup of the Pro-Life Movement, describing how this Democratic pro-life congressman, Tim Ryan, was essentially kicked out of a pro-life organization for supporting an act that tries to prevent abortion by promoting contraception. So, Christina, do you see this this kind of event taking being exposed as an opening then for people who are both pro-choice and sensibly perhaps, you know, pro-contraception, but perhaps anti-abortion, to take advantage of this and insert more sense, inject more sense into the whole debate?
Absolutely. This needs to happen. This discussion needs to happen. The American public, who's anti-abortion and pro-contraception, needs to step up and be part of this common ground debate that's going on. By the way, I also moderate online a forum for common ground. It's called On Common Ground, and it's hosted by rhrealitycheck.org. And this is for Americans, but, you know, pro-life and pro-choice leaders to come together to hash out real strategies at common ground and help inform Obama's effort to find these policies and legislation that we can support. And yes, what we need is we need this discussion to happen. We need Americans to step forward in the near unanimous support they bring to a contraception. And make this an issue that we can all get behind. This is a marginal position, and we need to make it that.
And so Representatives Ryan and DeLauro do seem to reflect that 80% of pro-life Americans who are pro-contraception, and so supporting those who are listening who are anti-abortion but pro-contraception could certainly support that position?
That's right, the Ryan-DeLauro bill. And we're going to see when the president comes out with his common ground agenda in the fall, that's another opportunity, because I think that what we'll see is, you know, a lot of pieces of prevention in that strategy, and we're really going to need, you know, support for it.
And certainly, you know, it's considered obvious that the pro-choice movement is also pro-contraception. But how much understanding is there in the pro-choice movement that the vast majority of pro-life Americans might be on their side where contraception is concerned?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, we are so pitted against one another in the professional sense, and so that we only deal with, concerned women for America. The fact that the pro-life public has no representation in an organization on their pro-contraception values makes it so that, you know, we're pitted against the anti-contraception movement. And by the way, you know, the pro-choice movement is the contraception movement in this country. We are, you know, Margaret Sanger financed the birth control pills development. We bring every new method to, you know, it all grows out of the pro-choice movement's efforts. I think that we recognize that we're far more representative of the pro-life public than the pro-life movement is,
mm-hmm.
But it's been hard to convey that message because while the anti-abortion establishment fights us every step of the way in, you know, state legislatures about contraceptive coverage or at the FDA about bringing new and more effective methods to the market, it's not really understood by that about that, you know.
Right.
The public doesn't really see that.
We're out of time, unfortunately, Christina Page, but I want to thank you very much for joining us today. We'll link to your websites and your article on our site later today at kpfk.org/uprising. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Dorothy Thompson once said, "There is nothing to fear except the persistent refusal to find out the truth, the persistent refusal to analyze the causes of happenings."